It's time to shake out your money-making truth. You're listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Have you ever wondered why some people work really hard for their money while others live lives of joy and abundance with seemingly little effort? You are about to learn powerful, tangible steps to shifting your mindset and connecting to your flow of money and abundance. Jennifer teaches you to connect to who you are at a soul level and how to use that connection to create a personal and specific relationship with money. Learn how money is a powerful tool to achieve your desires and your desires to then serve the world. So shake out your money-making truth right now. Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jennifer Bloom, host of Soul Wisdom Abundance, Create Wealth Through Spiritual Health. And as always, I am thrilled that you're joining, whether you're here for the first time, I'll say a special welcome to you. And then, of course, if you're back again, it means that we are covering topics that you're finding interesting, which I find equally thrilling. So glad that you're here. And you know, if you've been here before, you know that the show is really dedicated to helping you do a little bunny ears around do money in a new way, because so many of us have grown up with the idea that money has to be stressful and worrisome and cause a lot of pain and suffering, and it doesn't have to be that way. When you learn how to lean on your soul money relationship, among other things, you really begin to learn how to create shifts in how you work with money and how you can start creating lasting change and lasting abundance. And that's really what we're all, well, most of us, and if you're listening, that's what we're here to do. But you know what? As much as I am 1,000,000% behind this message, there's some issues that come out of this kind of message, which says, oh, let's not be stressed and worried and anxious, and let's just feel really good and having lasting peace and lasting abundance. And, you know, when that message gets watered down and heard in odd ways, it can be hard. And we can start to, number one, question ourselves, right? If we've tried to be all sunshine, roses, and lollipops, and we're still not getting what we want, we can start to feel like there's something wrong with us. But also, when we try to be sunshine, roses, and lollipops, we end up ignoring a lot of things that are going on both within us, within communities around us, and it starts turning to what people are calling toxic positivity, toxic manifesting. And it's something that really needs some conversation in the spiritual community, which is why I'm so delighted that I have my guest here today, Raspreet Sagu. And she is a new colleague and a new friend, I would dare to say. We met in a really lovely collective of people who are dedicated to creating change on this planet. So I'm so glad that she's here. So let me just tell you a little bit about her before I say hello and let her jump into the conversation. So she is an international coach and speaker, as well as a former pharmacist. And I hadn't realized that, actually. You know, and I'm a former occupational therapist, right? So this blend of science and spirituality is really important. And that's really right. You bring that so well to your clients so that people really can understand what's going on in their bodies, what's going on in their frequency, what needs to shift and change so that they can have that lasting change that we're looking for. So welcome. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you. Thank you for that introduction, Jennifer. It's a privilege and an honor to be here in this space.
I think we're going to have some fun and also talk about some really important things. And we're going to, just to give a little bit of a structure to our conversation, we'll spend the before break talking about this idea of toxic positivity. What is it, and what's the antidote to it? And then in the second half, we're going to provide some tools so that people can start to understand, oh, how do I put this into practice? So I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun. But let's start at the beginning here. And this word toxic positivity, toxic manifesting, it sounds really heavy, and I guess it is. So can you help me begin to understand a little bit more about that term itself and why we can't just expect to be positive all the time?
Yeah, sure. So when I talk about toxic positivity in my own practice, the context with which I speak about it is that idea and that misconception that gets put across in the mainstream wellness industry around needing to be positive all the time, needing to strive towards the more positive end of the emotional spectrum. And there are many tools and teachings out there that do teach. And I don't want to vilify them. I don't want to say that that's bad or that's wrong in any way. But it becomes toxic when that's all you're trying to do, when it's trying and forcing yourself to feel emotions, to feel feelings that you're not truly embodied with. And when I work with clients, this is what I talk a lot about, is when you're in that frame, when you're operating from the toxic positivity or the toxic manifesting practices, it's usually because, like you said at the beginning, there are these tools, these teachings that have come down, and somehow, somewhere along the line, the message and the true message behind it has been diluted or convoluted in some way, twisted. So you're not getting the highest truth, and you're getting information through this lens of always needing to be happy and smiley all the time. And so an example of this would look like, I use this all the time. My biggest wound is money. That's where I've struggled with a lot in my life, which is why I'm so excited to be here and listen to your stuff and your tools. But that's something that's actually prompted me. That's the one thing that prompted me into my journey of transformation. And I remember very, very early on, and this was quite a number of years ago, I started to do, I read The Secret, right? And so I started to read about the law of attraction. And then that got me into the teachings of Abraham Hicks and all of those kind of things. And it was beautiful. And I think at that point in my transformation, I needed to hear that. I needed to know that there's a possibility that if I just change my thinking, if I just change my mindset, then my life can actually change. Because I was like in the murk back then. However, I think that there's a fine pivotal point from it being empowering to it becoming toxic and disempowering and harmful even in the long term. And it's such a fine balance. So for me, in my journey, it was like when I would be writing reams and reams of papers or pads of paper, and I would be writing, I am rich, I am abundant. and I would feel it as I was writing it. It would be like, oh yeah, I feel this. I feel invincible now. Yes, I do feel it in the moment. But in the next moment, when I had a bill or I was looking at my bank account and the balance in my bank account, and it was not looking rich or abundant, then it was just like this little voice in my head going, you're lying. Don't be silly. You are certainly not rich and you're definitely not abundant, you know? And then there was this kind of, one part of me was thinking one thing and sending out this energy, because thought forms their energy, right? And then the other part of me was sending out something completely different. Now that's where I think that that's disconnect, that discord that happens when you're starting to do things just from your mind. And like I said at the beginning, I needed that. I needed the mindset shifts just to get out of the murk and the victim energy of, I can't change anything, life is happening to me, and all of that kind of a thing. But then you hit a plateau, at least I did. I hit this place where I was doing all the things, I was changing my mindset, I had trained in various different modalities and things like that, and I was trying to do the, oh, I'm just going to flip this anger into, what am I grateful for in this moment? What's bringing me joy in this moment? You know, and whilst that works for a while, it doesn't stick because you're not embodied in it.
Absolutely. You know, the first place I really learned about this, you talk about that fine line and you talk about resonance, right? That resonance between what am I thinking and what am I feeling? And I learned it very clearly when I was first doing work with fertility patients, right? Because it became very clear that our body isn't listening to our words. Our body is listening to our to how we feel. So if you're having trouble conceiving and you keep saying, I'm pregnant, and your whole being is going, no, I'm not. And I'm hurt. And I have a lot of shame and embarrassment and anger, but oh, no, I'm just going to have that positivity, right? When there is that disconnect, our body knows it and holds on to it and can create just a whole flood of changes physically. So that was my first introduction to it. But of course, it's the same when we're working on creating something that's as intangible, energetically intangible anyway, as money, right? When that disconnect is present, it is creating, well, number one, our bodies are still listening to the disconnect in our frequency, and we can have all kinds of things happening, like digestive upsets and panic attacks and those kinds of things, mm-hmm. as well as not receiving what it is that we want. Yeah. Right? So that resonance is really important. And while we want to, it is important to know that we are creators, that we have a lot more say in how our life unfolds than mm-hmm. we might think we do when we're in the muck and the mire. We have to learn how to walk that line so that we're truly honoring everything that's happening within us, because everything that's happening within us is what is creating the experience that we're in.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what, you know, what you just said there is in the moment, how's your body reacting? So in the context of money, for me, even though I was saying all the things and I was changing my mindset and all of that, but what would happen each time I spent money, each time I took my credit card out to spend the money, there was literally a physiological response. Yeah. There was this anxiety. Oh my gosh, I'm now this, and this feeling of dread and contraction, like my whole body language. Now that I've become more cognitively aware of this, I watch out for these patterns, because your body, as you say, will give you information around whether or not you're truly embodied in that thing. So I would be affirming that money circulates, I am a circulator of money and all of this stuff. But when I was spending the money, that it did not feel like it was circulation. It felt like a loss. It felt like I was losing something and I was never going to get it back. And it was scary. It was frightening. And all of these things would then trigger these memories of all the times that I'd had in my life where I'd either witnessed that or I'd experienced that. And for me, witnessing was watching my parents lose money or seeing something really bad. We went through a recession when we first moved to the UK, and it was really bad. Mm-hmm. And we were at a point where we were literally eating lentils and bread every single day because that's all we could afford. And so that trauma gets reactivated each time because you just get transported into that spot without even realizing that's what's happening.
Exactly. Our memories, not to make this too much of a physical conversation, but our memories are throughout our bodies, right? We think about who we are and our memories as being something that we store in our brain, but they're literally every cell of our body holds on to memories in a different way. And so you can have this full body reaction without even making the connection. And so there can be a lot of things that are going on that are going on below the surface that are creating the things that we're trying then to push back down, which puts us into an endless loop. And of course, some of these things we can identify, and some things, you know, if it's something that is something that's happened so regularly that we just don't even think about it anymore. If there are systems outside of us that are kind of creating difficulties or cultural biases that are something that we've just lived with all of our lives, so we don't even, you know, it's just like your hand, right? It's something that you've lived with for so long. So there are lots of different pieces that can be creating the frequency that is communicating to the universe that you aren't touching when you try to do sunshine, roses, and lollipops, mm-hmm. right? And in fact, it can create this self-defeating cycle of, what am I doing wrong?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad that you touched upon that, because a lot of the work that I do is around ethical, healthy, inclusive manifesting. Because as you said, a lot of these depends on the systems that you're surrounded with, where you were born. And yes, whilst I do definitely believe that you are the creator of your own reality and you can outcreate anything. And at the same time, if there is a systemic thing that's happening, if there's rules or regulations, or there are structures within a community which are really beyond the control of one single individual, it's going to be harder. It's going to be that much more challenging. And it's nothing to do with your energy. It's nothing to do with your mindset. It's nothing to do with the fact that there's something wrong with you and it's not manifesting, or you haven't got to that bottom belief, or whatever excuses we give ourselves. But it's literally that the fact that there is a systemic issue here that needs to change. But I have clients that come to me and say, well, then isn't that being a victim? Then aren't you like sliding back into victimhood if you're just waiting for the system to change? And here's where I say no, because when you work on yourself and you work so deeply to ensure that you are dealing with this scarcity, because when it comes down to money issues, actually anything really, but particularly with money, it's that conversation around scarcity and lack, not enoughness, right? So it's not, and I say this all the time, this is where the misinformation starts to trickle in from all of these different teachings, where they're focusing on the eliminating the lack, in eliminating the scarcity. Whereas when I talk to my clients, it's more about balancing it, because there's always going to be that lack, no matter if it's money, if it's a relationship you desire, whatever desire you have has been ignited because there was a lack of that thing in your life. That's why it sparked in the first place. Otherwise, you wouldn't want it, right? So once you make peace with the fact that lack is always going to be this undercurrent with you, but how are you balancing that energy? How are you harmonizing? Are you okay with being in that lack without falling victim to it? And that's the real conversation that you get to have to move through this.
Absolutely. Right. And my belief is that as we, as individuals, honor and acknowledge the systems that are in place, things that have created lack, things that have created incredible challenges, as we do that deep work to honor and acknowledge it, recognize it, and then make new choices in spite of it, alongside of it, let's say it that way, right? Then we have done one energetic piece of dismantling the system, right? Because while we're not going to dismantle it from the outside in, we're going to, as we acknowledge it, we can create change from the inside out. Yeah. And so in addition to creating changes in our own lives, we're also then adding to the dismantling of something that should never have been there in the first place.
Yeah, 100%. I absolutely agree with you. That is the way the change is going to happen. It will happen on an individual level, which then gets rippled out. Because those choices that you're making, I say this to my clients all the time, you form part of the collective. So when you are doing that inner work, you are changing the entire collective. That's how powerful you are. But we don't, nobody goes around telling us or reminding us that we're that powerful. So we forget, right?
We do. And we get focused on where we are. And of course, because we're human beings living on this planet. And when there aren't enough resources, it just doesn't, it's an unpleasant experience, right? So the goal isn't to change the collective, but here I am, this powerful person. So, we've been kind of talking about it along, but what are some additional kind of antidotes to help people understand this line between toxic positivity that becomes toxic and really truly being able to use the tools in a way that is successful?
That's such a good question.
Answer me in 30 seconds or less.
Right. Let's try this in 30 seconds. Well, for me, what it was the force. So when I would use these tools, if I found I was forcing it, I had to do it because I felt like I should, or that I was having those contradictory feelings going on at the same time. So I would have the I am rich and an abundant thing going on. And then at the same time, I'd have, no, you're really not. And it feels off, doesn't it? It feels off in your body. It doesn't feel true. And for me, this is the thing, right? It's going to be different for everyone. Everyone will experience it very uniquely because we're wired really uniquely. That people perceive energy very uniquely depending on how their energetic circuitry is set up within them. So I can give you my own example. For me, I know that it's getting to that stage getting to the toxic stage, that is, if I am forcing myself, if I'm doing it and my heart's not in it, or if I've noticed that I've been using that tool and I'm doing it over and over again and it's not actually creating any change. That's really the first indication. Well, okay, I've been using this tool for all this time. I'm doing what I should be doing. And is it creating the results? Even if it's not the exact result. So if you're manifesting a 5-bedroom mansion and that's not happened, but you're feeling better about money and you're noticing that now when I'm pulling out my credit card, I'm not having that reaction anymore. It's just small, tiny little things. If you're noticing that, then great, carry on, do it. Practice it, build that muscle. But if it's like, no, I'm still feeling just as bad as I was before I started this thing, then, you know, there may be an adjustment there to make.
Mm-hmm. Beautifully said. Yeah. And it, good point, right? We're all wired differently. So there's going to be some tweaks here and there. But paying attention to how you're feeling while you're doing it is really, and it sounds like such a simple tip, except for it's the heart of what it is that you're doing, right? Mm-hmm. It's the frequency that matters. Mm-hmm. I know for myself, I can tell if I'm slipping into that sort of that toxic land when my story starts to pop up in ways that it hasn't for a while. And my story tends to be, oh, that's not fair. Or, what am I doing wrong? That I can tell that when I start slipping into those two stories, that I'm trying too hard with the tools, and that is a time to take a step back. And for me, what has been an important framework to move through and make those lasting changes has been to connect with soul, to connect with the bigger truths of who I really am and what's really present. Because then I get to say, okay, I'm not, so for example, right, if I am divinity, if I'm attached to soul, one of the big truths about soul is that there's unlimited prosperity. Mm-hmm. And that's a pretty big concept, right? And if I remember that, and it's not my experience, that's my time to be able to stop and take a breath and say, what am I believing that's in opposition to what's really true? Right. And so then I can kind of backtrack and I can go back into the, well, and I can start to modify my way into it. Well, won't it be nice? Won't it be nice when I really truly understand that I don't have to fight for resources, that part of me that gets right, fight or flight when something isn't present. Won't it be nice? I'm looking forward to, won't it be nice when, and then that helps ease me into, okay, where am I now? And where do I want to be? And then pick a tool that can bridge that gap.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And another thing that I would add to that is noticing, where are you becoming frantic? And that frantic energy of, oh, I need to do, I need to just do. Because if we're talking from the level of the soul and your soul's wisdom and path, you don't need to do. And there's no time limit. And there's no rush to get things done. Things will happen. And if you are trusting that divinity within you and that soul and all of that, then you don't get to control the timelines. You've got to step into that state of receiving, and you don't get to control how it comes or what happens. But what you do get to control is how you're approaching it, what you're doing every single day to help you to balance that scarcity that you have in the moment with your desire.
Beautifully said. Beautifully said. Okay, so I'm going to let that be the last comment for a moment. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with me, your host, Jennifer Bloom, and we will return in just a few moments where we'll start sharing some individual tools. So come on back.
Listen up. The wealth you receive is a result of your personal relationship with the soul of money, meaning your spiritual well-being affects your ability to create abundance. Jennifer Bloom works with people to mend the spiritual disconnects that block up the cash flow. How's your relationship with yourself? Are you in balance with the divine? I know, these are big questions, but there are answers. Take Jennifer's free money relationship quiz to learn where you need to focus your energy and watch yourself grow into the abundance you deserve. Trust the divine. Learn to receive. You are worthy of all the wealth you seek. Visit jenniferbloom.com and click on the purple banner to take the free money relationship quiz. That's Jennifer Bloom, BLOOME.com. Get empowered. Transformation Talk Radio.
Let's face it, you don't love your wrinkles. You probably work out, but you have been skipping face day. Join Colette Marie Steffen for daily face yoga. You'll learn to activate and train facial muscles and reverse the visible effects of aging. Forget about expensive procedures and products that don't work. Live virtual classes every day at 6 a.m. and 9 p.m. Pacific. Sign up for Face Yoga with Colette. Visit thetruthisfunny.com.
Hello, and we're back on Soul Wisdom Abundance. I am your host, Jennifer Bloom, and my guest, Raspreet Sugu, is here sharing all kinds of information about toxic positivity. And this gets to be the fun part of the show. Not that the first part wasn't fantastic. We were just saying at the break we could talk for hours on this topic. And there's so much more to touch base on, but I think that making a switch into some tools would be really helpful. But before we do that, can you share how people can find you and learn more about the work that you're doing?
Of course. So you can either go onto my website, www.divinesacredsoul.com. Yep. Or I hang out on Instagram a lot. So you can find me under Raspreet_Sagu on Instagram.
Fantastic. All right. And I'm going to, for those of you who are listening, please check the show notes because you've got a lovely free gift that you're offering. Can you say just a little bit about that?
Yeah. So it's in relation to what we're talking about now, when you step into your shadows and you're operating from the scarcity, lack, or something that's holding you back, which shadows is like a term where people think it's so negative. But I want to share with you a tool and a guide to show you how you can alchemize those shadows, because there's gifts within those shadows. And so I've got a little tool guidebook, which you can go and have a look at and see which shadows you identify with and how you get to move through them to alchemize them so you can start balancing that energy.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, there's so much information in the shadow, isn't there? I've got like 12 thoughts I want to say all at once here about it, but let me say it this way, because the tool that I want to share is soul language. For those of you who've been listening, you know that this is it's a paradigm that helps us put tangibility to soul. And it is my belief that the more we know about ourselves, the easier it is to live on this planet. And one of the things that just changed my life when I learned about soul language was that we have these parts of ourselves, and we can either be using them consciously or we can be using them unconsciously. And there are things that we can experience when we are in the unconscious. And I used to think of those things about myself as flaws, like these almost dark marks against me, that there was something, you obviously hear my underlying patterns here, right? About there's something wrong with me. But what was such a gift, when you learn about the shadows, when you learn about things that can come up when you're disconnected from your divine self, it becomes this piece of information that helps you go, oh, all this means is I'm disconnected from who I really am. Mm-hmm. And I just need to get reconnected, and then things can flow. I don't have to do maybe more deep diving. I don't have to go looking for one more belief. All I need to do is reconnect, right? And so the true alchemy in those shadow points. So I'm going to be downloading that guide. All right. So let's do this. I have identified, with your permission, of course, one of your money languages. So just to set the stage again, this is a tool that gives us the ability to have a deeper understanding of who we are. And it gives us guidelines for how to operate on the planet in a way that is going to allow flow. And within the soul language paradigm, we have personal soul languages that are parts of our soul. And then we have energies that we brought with us to support any relationship that we're in, including money. So the category of language that I'm going to share with you in the money languages is the skills and tools language. This is the, in the money world, this is the energetic how that you as a soul like to use to create money. Okay. So what I will do is I'm going to read you the description, as well as some of the talents of this energy and some of the things that happen when this energy gets blocked. And then we'll talk about it on the other side about how to use it. Okay. So for you, this language is called partner. And this sacred partnership with money language gives you the skill of understanding that money is one aspect of the divine that you can co-create with. Your how of making money is to be the equal partner to money, which means being an equal partner of the divine. You know when to take action for money and when to allow money, the divine, to take the lead. So when you are in direct connection with this particular energy, the things that happen or things you might notice, you create an equal partnership with money. You know your role, which is to create your intention and remain open to receive. And you know money's role, which is to flow for you. And then you are an expert in understanding the giving and receiving cycle. When this energy is disconnected, so when you are feeling separate from this particular energy, the things you might find happening, not showing up to do your part in the relationship with money, needing money in order to feel worthy to be in relationship, stonewalling money because it isn't showing up the way you want it, needing it to show up in a specific way, and discounting your importance and role in the partnership with money. So with all of that information in a small chunk, tell me what resonates, what comes up for you as you hear that.
Oh my gosh, all of it resonated. And it's particularly this, when I'm in alignment and when I'm in partnership, this flow, this circulation. because I know that's what happens with me when I'm in alignment. And when there's that conversation of being separate, then it's not there, or money's abandoned me, or then it's this desperate, like, how do I get it? Where is it? And it's like this temptation of trying to control how it has to come to me. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like I get my blinkers on, and it can only come for me from here and here and here. It's only recently that I've started to really develop my relationship with money. And as I've done that, as I've expanded into that, I'm noticing that it's actually coming from places I never would have ever imagined. Like, it wasn't even a thing that I would be able to manifest, like, coming from that source, because it just wouldn't have occurred to me that money could come from that source for me.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? I had a client share just last week, and this was about work that we actually had done a couple of years ago. We reconnected, and she said, yeah, the first time we did work together, she said that next weekend, I had a call from a friend who did ad placements. And the way they did it was they borrowed people's locations to film ads. So she had her friend say, hey, would you mind? I love how open your house is. Can we come film at your place for a couple of days? And it was something like $2,500 a day. And, you know, it's like, my client's like, you could never, ever have gotten me to, like, connect the dots on that, when you couldn't create that out of thin air, right? But it was one of these things where she was now open to receiving in new ways. Her friend thought of her, and here it was, right? Mm-hmm.
Exactly. That's exactly it. It's like, for me, I just started to do art just about a year ago. And I never would have thought I was good enough to sell. So I just used to post it out on social media every now and then. And people were asking to buy it. And I was like, hold on a minute. I'm doing all this marketing for my business. And I'm spending so much time and effort and energy there. And then I do this fun thing, which I'm not really, in my mind, good at. And people are asking me, can I pay you for that? It's just bizarre.
Yeah. So one of the really fun things about these languages is that we can actually, they're not just an archetype, they are literally living, breathing consciousness. So one of the things that we can do is connect with those energies and ask questions. So if you're game, I'd love to teach you how to connect. Yeah. And then we can ask a question or two here. All right. So just if you'll just follow my language for a moment and just let whatever comes come. All right. So we're going to first ask divine intelligence to integrate body and soul. Align your earth star and your heaven star so that your energetic channel is nice and straight. And then imagine that you can drop your consciousness, meaning your thinking mind. Imagine that it can just sort of softly float down into the center of your chest. And you don't have to know how, just let that happen so that you have your consciousness right in the center of your heart. And we'll breathe here for a moment. And then simply ask divine intelligence to create a conscious connection between you and partner. And let me know when that's present.
Okay.
So depending on how you get energy, you might see something, you might hear something, you might just have a knowing that that presence is here. Do you have a sense of that, of partner?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So what does partner want to share with you about opening up even more to the possibility of money coming from unexpected places?
To unplug from all the spaces that I think are my income streams right now.
Okay. And does it have a suggestion for feeling safe while doing that?
So I'm getting to experiment with it. So do one at a time and notice what happens. And the more I begin to trust it, because I'll notice changes, the more I'll begin to trust it and feel safe.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Okay, for the sake of time, let's say thank you to partner, and you can let that energy release. Beautiful. Okay, and then you can mom back when you're ready. So this is just a demonstration of how, number one, we knowing our who we are in flow and where we are with our blinders on, right? When we get to that disconnected place, and then being able to have something that we can lean on to start to ask questions, right? That can start to give us a bigger picture about what we might not be understanding about who we are at that really connected divine level. And to begin giving us ideas of things that we can do, things that we don't have to spend all our mental energy on. We get to just lean in and ask the divine. Any questions about soul language or how to use these energies?
I'm so intrigued about this. So is this something that a facilitator would do? So I would come and work with you, or is this something you can do on your own, or how does it work?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So first of all, in order to get the identification, that is something that someone who is trained in soul languages does. There's a lot of, it's a piece of your soul. So when you give permission, I make a one-time connection with your soul. So your soul is providing that information. And then once you have the identification, then you learn how to connect, then you can run with it, right? Then you have those energies that are, and I think of this team. So my teams, you have your teams present that you then can connect into on a regular basis to continue to get at that information.
I love that.
Yeah, beautiful. Okay. So that's one way of being able to check in with your frequency to begin to understand about, you know, where you're being conscious and unconscious, things that might be below the surface that would be impacting being able to create. And I know that you have a tool or two that you would like to share with folks. So I'm going to turn the floor over to you for now.
Well, I have a body of work that I call the Creative Blueprint. And what I class the Creative Blueprint is, they are archetypes, but it's actually a blueprint, a living, breathing blueprint that exists within you. And when people come to me, they ask me, well, is this for your manifesting? What is it for your creativity? And what I say is, this is for your creative life force. This is how you get to, and your soul gets to express itself in all its glory. So that could be through manifestation, intentional creation. That could be through actual creativity, which could encompass baking cakes, painting, music, whatever that expression of creativity that feeds your life force, that generates your life force energy is. And so I have a really quick meditation to help you connect with that. Now, I know that most of the viewers, the listeners, wouldn't have necessarily, they don't know what their actual blueprint is, their five blueprint types. And that's okay, because we are just connecting to the essence of that blueprint of your soul. So I'm going to take you through a quick exercise just so you can connect to that, and then have you ask a few questions and then see what awareness you get.
Beautiful. Okay?
So if you want to close your eyes, relax into your body and just take a couple of deep cleansing breaths. And if you just request for the energy to start expanding, your energy, and you don't need to overthink this, just the thought, the intention, it's already happening. Just trust however that happens for you. And as you expand, notice the space between the molecules all around you, as everything starts to form into one. So you become part of everything. You're sharing space and molecules with everything around you. And there really is no way to mess this up. So just breathe in and expand. Now place your consciousness deep within your heart space. Find that sacred space within your heart. And just become aware of how beautiful it is. Just notice the beauty the power, the potency, the magic, and notice your unique brilliance that lies within this space. This is your unique brand of magic that nobody else can create. Nobody can mimic this. Nobody can recreate it. This is only for you. This is your creative blueprint, the essence of your blueprint. Now, just sensing that energy, and don't worry at this point if you don't know what that is right now, you're connecting to the essence of that energy and trusting however you perceive that right now in this moment is exactly right for you. Start to notice where that energy is most present within your physical body. Where do you feel it most concentrated? Focus on that part where you feel the energy of its presence the strongest. And just be present with that. And notice, as you connect to this part, how does it make you feel? What are the emotions connected to that? You may feel light. You may feel expansive. You may feel heavy. It's all dependent on you. This is all unique, and there's no right or wrong here. And as you breathe into that space, hold your intention using your breath as an amplifier that enhances your intention. What would you like to find out from your creative blueprint today? What is it that you're craving in your life, in this season of your life? And just connect to the essence of that desire. Now, asking that consciousness, that blueprint energy, how have I been denying myself this thing that I desire, whatever that may be, that I'm actually more than capable of being, doing, having, or creating? How do I deny it? And what needs to happen to lower your barriers so that you can unleash the creative life force within you to have that desire now, to actualize it? Still connected to this blueprint energy and just asking the question, what is it that you are doing when you're in your flow, not somebody else's flow, but your unique flow, your manifesting flow? What is the ebb of manifesting and the flow of manifesting look like and feel like in your body? And what is it that satisfies this part of your soul the most? What satisfies the essence of your soul that activates this blueprint straight away? And as you get an awareness of that, set the intention that that is activated now, in this moment. Commit to having that in your life now, choosing that now. And know that it has been activated. Whatever is required has been activated within you now. And now that you have connected with your creative blueprint, let it know you'll be back. Let it know that it's okay for it to show up and guide you. Guide you along your path of joy and guide you into your manifesting style that is unique to you. And you can thank it. Thank yourself for being willing. And thank your beautiful body for being the vessel. And whenever you're ready, come back to your body. Wriggle your toes and your fingers, and you can open your eyes.
That was lovely. So I felt the energy, I started to judge it and then I let it go, but I felt it in my back, and I can't remember exactly what the instruction was, but as I was in it and feeling it, it turned into like this cape, right? So it was something that I can feel that when I'm really connected, and I almost feel like I'm flying, right? Mm-hmm. And just that sense of being exactly where I'm supposed to be right now. And then a few of the other prompts in there, realizing that, so one of the things that I'm working on in my business right now is reaching more people. Mm-hmm. And I notice that as I have a desire, there's a part of me that, as much as I know, slips right into the doing, right? Like I want the systems, I want to, you know, and I get very caught up in the do. And what my blueprint was reminding me, that essence was reminding me, is that's all fine and dandy. And yeah, there's something to be said for systems and being places that people can see you. But my job, first and foremost, is to be in that space of feeling the cape expanding behind me, and to be that, and then to trust whatever is flowing, let that be the first step and let everything else flow. So a fantastic reminder from that blueprint.
I'm curious, what part of what is it that satisfies this part of your soul?
So there is a very strong part of my soul that likes action, right? That I recognize very, very much about who I am, is that I am a mover and a shaker. And so what I tend to do is sort of disconnected action, right? It's action for action's sake. Mm-hmm. So to be able to have an inspired action to follow through on, meaning I've been in the being, and then I get an idea and I follow it and I trust it. That's what satisfies that part.
So what I'm getting from that is it's less about the action and more about the sense of accomplishment.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
This is what I would say to a client at this point, is what gives you a quick fix of accomplishment? And that could be as mundane as when I write a list and I get to tick things off that list, that feels like I'm accomplished. I've accomplished something. Or it could be that I've baked a cake and that gives me a sense of accomplishment, or created a piece of art and that gives me a sense of accomplishment. So what can you do that gives you a really quick fix of that accomplishment, which isn't going to take a lot of time, and it doesn't matter that you don't get it done?
You know, for me, I'm taking piano lessons. So for me, it's sitting down at the piano and taking that time to play a favorite piece, you know, and then it's done, right? I've done it. I've moved through it. And I'm also a list maker. So I will add making a list to my list of accomplishments.
So those are really quick and easy things that you can fit into a day and get into that energy that really satisfies you, because that's going to drive that creative life force for you.
Beautiful. I love it. And it can be consistent, right? Because I think we do our tools and then we think we're done, but it's really about that consistency, right? And not that it has to be hard, not that it has to take a lot of time, but find that consistent connection in whatever activities work for us and our particular essence.
Exactly.
Lovely, beautiful. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for sharing that exercise. Thank you for sharing your wisdom. I feel like we need a part two and part three, but we will but we will let it be enough for today. So if there was one thing that you want to leave with our listeners, what would you say? What would you like them to know?
I would love for everyone to understand that they are so unique, that they are so nuanced, and that it's okay to unplug from doing things the way everyone else is doing them. And that includes conscious creation and manifesting and using the law of attraction, all the things. You get to do it in the way that is most aligned with you. And that might look different than what's been put out there in the mainstream or what your friends have been doing, which has been working for them. And I wish more people knew this so they wouldn't go into the conversation, or, but I've done all of this, these things, there must be something wrong with me.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing wrong with you. It's just that you have not found that alignment with something that is your unique style of manifesting or your unique framework for manifesting.
So well said.
The good news is you get to create that.
That's right. Yeah. And but the bad news is that you get to create it, right? I mean, it's but there's a freedom, right? There's a true freedom to recognizing that it's your creation and you get to do it your way.
Exactly. Lovely.
So again, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for your wisdom and for sharing everything with our listeners. And for all of you who are tuning in, thank you for being here. And as you all may know, Soul Wisdom Abundance is the first and the third Fridays of each month. So continue to tune in. Next time we'll be speaking with a guest about being your authentic self and why that's so important. So it'll be a lovely transition from here. All right. So until we meet again, everyone, prosperous blessings. Take care. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about Jennifer Bloom or listen to past shows, visit JenniferBloom.com. You can subscribe to this podcast on any of your favorite podcasting outlets. Simply search Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.